guys will sort me out so that you can hear me clearly. Let's bow our heads and pray for the word this morning. Father, we thank you this morning for the preaching of the word. We thank you for revelation knowledge. We thank you for understanding. We thank you for the entrance of your word. We humble ourselves this morning. We pray that you'd speak to us. We pray that your heart will be laid out before us, that each and every one of us would become partakers of your word. We humble ourselves this morning. Come have your way, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's go straight into the word. Let's trust that the Lord will speak to us today. Now, 3 weeks ago, I started talking about finances. And please excuse me if this topic is becoming a bit of an issue where you feel like, let's move on to more important things. That's fine. Today will be the last one. If I had my way, I would go for another 3 weeks talking about finances. But we'll park it there for now. And I believe the Lord will help us. So I really want you to be patient with me today. I want to finish off what I need to this morning. So hang in there. You're not going to die. You know, when we come to church, we come to church. Amen. We come to meet the Lord. You see, there are times where we program God too much. We program him to say, only operate for this long. There's a place in our lives that we need to create for God, where you say, on Sabbath, on the day of the Lord, I'm going to go and worship. I want to experience everything that God has in store for me. That is honor to the Lord. So sometimes, this is really a correction to the church and to all of us. Let's not be too busy for the Lord. We can be too busy for our own good. And I want to challenge you that if you are to go to the next level with the Lord, you can't be too busy for him. You can't be too tired for the Lord. It can't be too cold for you to rise up and pray. And so I want to challenge you that when you want to spend time with the Lord, let it be quality time. Let it be time that you know I have given him my attention. I really want to challenge you, if you have stuff that you need to do on Sundays, make sure it doesn't disturb your time with the Lord. Because God wants to spend time with you. If you are too busy with the Lord, for the Lord, you might never receive much from God. So when you come to this church, please come ready to worship. Come ready to pray. Come ready to sit in and hear God's word. Otherwise, we are in the wrong place. Are we together this morning? I'm speaking to you as your pastor because the Lord has called me to shepherd you. And if I don't shepherd you, I will give account. And this statement I am making is a shepherding statement. Do not be too busy for the Lord. Come early to church. Church starts at 9:30. And don't leave too early before church is finished. Value the Lord. Spend time with the Lord. Give him your undivided attention. When you come to this church, I can guarantee you I will not waste your time for nothing. I'm not going to spend another hour for nothing. If I spend another hour, it is because there's something that the Lord is doing. And I want you to cooperate with me in that regard. May the Lord touch each and every one of us to be here on time, and let's only leave when we are done. Otherwise, there's no unity of spirit as a church. When the Lord looks at us, he looks at us as a church, as his body, and he wants to speak to each and every one of us. Let's enable the Lord just to do that. Can I get a big amen on that? Amen. Hallelujah. This is the church of the living God. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said to Timothy, before I come, let me switch this thing on. So he was saying, before I come, I want you to teach them how to behave in the house of the Lord. So when you come to the house of the Lord, you're not coming to your father's house or your natural father's house or your brother's house. You're coming to the Lord's house. And therefore, when we come to the Lord's house, it's a time and a moment for us to focus on the Lord and say, Lord, I give you my undivided attention. Does somebody agree with me this morning? It's important that we put things in line in this church so that we don't just become a body that is dismembered. A body that has no order. A body that does what it wants. No. When we come to the house of the Lord, we are coming to the Lord. You're not coming to me as a man. So let's honor God by coming to church early and by ensuring that we don't leave unnecessarily before the service finishes. It's disrespectful to the Lord and to your pastor. Hallelujah. Very, very important. Unless it's really an emergency, then you can go. But if it's not, let's stay put until we are done together as a church. All right. I really felt the Lord putting this on my heart yesterday as I was preparing for church. I'm like, Lord, am I going to say this? Yes, I said it. And I'm saying it for your good. I'm saying it for your well-being. Amen. So, 3 weeks ago, let's come back. Okay, let's come back to God's word. Hallelujah. All right, 3 weeks ago, I started talking about finances, right? I went into what I was praying about yesterday. So I want to continue this morning on part 4, which will be the last one, on a financially prudent disciple. I really believe God wants to liberate you. The Lord wants to set you free. As I was preparing yesterday, I had a sense, you know, I do my last preps on Saturday afternoon. I had a sense that in this process of teaching about finances, some spirits have been disturbed. And the Lord kind of opened my eyes and I started seeing this scrawny, thin being. And the Lord said to me, that's the spirit of poverty. That as you are teaching, I was dealing with that in the lives of God's people. And I want you to know that the spirit of poverty is real. And it manifests in different ways. It manifests in being so thrifty that you're not able to give. But I want you to know the Lord wants to set you free from the spirit of poverty and the spirit of greed. So as we're teaching these things, there's a liberation taking place in the spirit. And if you are alert, you'll know that the Lord is dealing with something very specific in your life. So let's look at what we have covered so far. Number one, we said, develop a healthy relationship with money. Develop a healthy relationship with money or with wealth or with mammon. That word mammon goes beyond money. It's about wealth, the things of this world. Develop a healthy relationship with your house. Develop a healthy relationship with the pocket money that you receive from NSFAS or from your parents. Develop a healthy relationship with that. Number two, acknowledge God as your source. I'm not going to go into details. If you want, if you missed, you can go into our YouTube channel. You'll be able to see these messages. We say, acknowledge God as your source. Number three, exercise good financial stewardship. Exercise good financial stewardship. If you can do these things, Humana, when you are young, you'll be far above and beyond your generation. You'll be beyond people of your age. My wife tells me of a story. When she was young, at their church, she used to sell things. And they would call her money lady. That's what they would call her. Money maker. When she was young, I don't know how old were you, my love. Early on in her years, she had this thing about raising money and she would give to the Lord. And they called her money maker. And I can tell you, I'm seeing she's a money maker. Even now, she's a money maker. She started early. Glory be to God. So exercise financial stewardship early on. And we say, number one, honestly earn your income. The love of money is the root of all evil. If you love money too much, you'll end up trying things and you become a tenderpreneur who is unethical. Okay? We talk about the black diamonds. Some of them have earned their money legitimately, but some of them it has been through unscrupulous ways. We can hear what's happening in the commissions of inquiry going on currently. So honestly earn your income. Number two, pay your debts. Okay? If you owe somebody, I'm not going to dwell on this, but pay your debts. The Bible says, owe nobody nothing except love. Number three, we said, increase your earning capacity. Increase your ability to grow financially. Gone are the days where we wait for that single income. And I want to challenge everybody. Look for something additional that can help you to grow financially, that can enable you to give to the work of the ministry. Hallelujah. Number four, we said, prioritize God in your finances. That is what we dealt with last week. And we spoke about giving God your first, your best amongst the lot. Okay? Your first fruit. I know it's a dimension that came differently last week. And, you know, we believe in the word. Amen. So we give our best to the Lord. Now let's go on to the next couple of points around financial stewardship. The Bible says, John 6 verse 11. Let's go to John 6 verse 11. John 6 verse 11. You all know the story where Jesus fed 5,000, right? But there's a detail that we find in the book of John chapter 6 verse 11. The Bible says, then Jesus took the loaves and the fish, gave thanks and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. Verse 12. And when everyone was full, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over so that nothing will be wasted. I don't know if you guys know about that portion of scripture. We see another detail in the book of John, where the Lord Jesus goes to the disciples and he say to them, gather the pieces that are left over so that nothing will be wasted. So they collected them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Collect the leftovers so that nothing goes to waste. Something jumped at me concerning financial prudence, concerning just being prudent in our lives. Now, I want you to understand this morning that what you do with what God gives you is very, very important. And it will determine the health of your finances over time. What you do with what God has given you is so important, it will determine the health and the state of your finances over time. And let me tell you something. The status of your finances right now is a reflection of what you've been doing in the past 4 years with what God gave you. It's a reflection. Hello? Now, many people are very wasteful with money. Not in this church. Not here, but a lot of people are wasteful to the point of being irresponsible. Some people are so irresponsible that every Friday night they go out. There's nothing wrong with going out every Friday night with your family. The four of us, when we go out, we don't spend anything less than 1,000 rand. Nothing less. When we go out for dinner, it's 1,000 going upwards. Now imagine I go out every Friday night with my family. It means that by the end of the month, I would have spent close to 5,000 rand on going out. Do I really have to do that? I don't know. It's your choice to make. But sometimes we are irresponsible.
But if you are in debt, you should not be going out. You should be making meals at home. Well-prepared meals at home. Your children should not be buying McDonald's for lunch every day. You should be preparing a scaftin for your kids. Hello, somebody? Are you being responsible if you are in debt, but you give your child money to go to the tuck shop every day? Maybe not. You should be doing some peanut butter sandwiches. They won't die. There's protein there. They have enough. So a peanut butter sandwich and with some popcorns will be enough for the day. And your child will not die. Hello? Afternoons, do you need to prepare a full-on meal during the afternoon? Maybe not. Maybe they can have pap and amasi. You know what I'm talking about? An easy meal in the afternoon, then you have a big meal at night. I'm talking about being responsible with what God has given you. You know, they talk about tightening up your belt. There are times in our lives where we need to tighten up our belts in order to recover certain areas of our lives. There was a season in our lives where we had to reconfigure our finances. And one of the areas we looked at was digital satellite TV, DSTV. You guys just know it's DSTV. DSTV, it was costing us close to 1,000 rand a month for the premium package. And we calculated, my love, do you see that in a year, would have spent 12,000 rand on DSTV. We said, you know what, we are cutting it. Let's go down to compact. You know the compact package, which does not have super sport channels, okay, which does not have Mnet One, you know, back in those days. But I'm saying to you, sometimes we are irresponsible. The things that we call needs, they are just glorified wants. Hello? I'm going to say that again. The things that we call real needs in our lives, they are glorified wants. There are times where we need to be honest with ourselves and say, we actually don't need this. Because if you don't change your behavior, your bank account will never change. Its outlook will remain red for many years to come. But the Lord Jesus comes to his disciples and say, I want to teach you a lesson. Though you did not work for the food I gave to these people, it was a miracle. And therefore you can afford to say, it was a miracle. You know, don't need to worry about anything. But Jesus said, whether it's a miracle or not, I want you to be prudent. Pick up the pieces. And the Bible says, out of those pieces, there were 12 baskets. Now I'm speculating, maybe he took 6 of them and gave them to the little boy who gave the seed offering. The multiplication was because there was a little boy who had lunch. And I'm speculating, could it be that the Lord gave those 6 baskets and said, young man, go to your house and bless your family? Could it be that the following day when the Lord Jesus was busy doing his rounds, he was able to feed his disciples from the 12 baskets? Are you responsible with what God has given you? Or you say miracles will keep on happening? Now, let me tell you something about miracles. A miracle is just an emergency exit. It's not the predominant way that God wants you to live. Many people think that a miracle is the norm. Miracles are not the norm. Miracles are an emergency exit. You know, when you go in these combis or taxis, at the back there's a big window written emergency exit. That's a miracle. When you need to break out of a taxi that's rolling, you hit that window and you come out. So when you look at a miracle, it is an emergency exit. It's not the way life is meant to. That is why when the children of Israel crossed the River Jordan, the manna stopped. And the Lord Jesus and God say to them, next year you're going to eat what you sowed, what you planted, what you sweated for. That is what you're going to live on. Manna stopped. Manna was for the 40 years when they were in the desert. And when they crossed over, they said the principles of life must apply. Hallelujah. Come on, let's clap our hands to the Lord. I'm talking about practical theology. Yes, it's okay to pray for a miracle, but you need to pray for wisdom. The Lord, show me what I need to do in this season. What type of business venture should I get into? Then when you start doing things like that, I want you to know, miracles will happen from time to time just to give you just an add-on. But by and large, the Bible says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. As a man soweth, so shall he reap. Are we responsible with what God has given us? The question is, some of you will be receiving bonuses pretty soon. Some of you will be receiving performance incentives. The big question is, how do you plan to handle that cash injection? How do you plan to handle that 13th check that comes on the 15th of December? How do you plan to deal with that increase that comes your way? They picked 12 baskets, and the Lord said, let nothing go to waste. Because if you do not plan what you're going to do with your bonus, you are in trouble. I know people who spend their bonus before the bonus hits the pocket. Now, none of you do that type of stuff. We spend the performance incentive before it even comes. And then you receive a letter that says, unfortunately, this year we are not issuing out any bonuses. Now what? You're praying for a miracle. You're praying for a miracle. Some miracles will never happen. No matter how we fast, no matter how genuine we are in our prayers, some prayers will go unanswered. Hello, somebody? Financial stewardship. So please, stop spending your bonus before it comes. No, don't do that. You're looking for trouble. So let's look at number 5. I'm talking about financial stewardship. The 5th aspect of being a prudent disciple is this. Develop the habit of saving. Develop the habit of saving. So in the same way that you are to give to the Lord, He expects you to save some of the money. I don't know how many of us here have got savings. I remember speaking to somebody last week or 2 weeks ago. There was a short break in their work. And I said to him, do you have money for rental? And he said to me, Pastor, I saved up for 3 months rent. And I said, praise the Lord for people like this. I was so blessed because it's rare to hear people telling you that I'm not worried about rental because I've saved up for 3 months. When you save money, you are on a path where money can start working for you. Because there's a time in your life where money needs to start working for you instead of you working for money. If you do not save, you will always work for your money. And you will never break into the dimension of compound interest. So when you save money in a 32-day call account, it gives you an interest over time. When you save money in these call accounts, you are able to see money growing a little by little. But if you don't save, I can tell you, you'll never see money working for you. Now, if you cannot save, it means you are outspending your earnings and you need to do something about it. I'm not going to ask you to lift your hands if you are saving right now, but you know the reality back at the ranch. If you are not saving, it means that you need to have a lifestyle audit, which will result in a lifestyle change. I want to repeat that. If you are not able to save, you need to do a lifestyle audit that will result in a lifestyle change. You see, God expects you to pay Him first, to pay yourself second, and to pay your bills. When you save, you are paying yourself. There's a principle that many people might not agree with. They call it the 10-10-80 principle, where you give the Lord 10% and you save 10% and you live off 80%. You've got to discipline yourself to come to a point where your retirement annuities are more than 10% of your income. Do you know that only 5% of South Africans will retire comfortably? The 95% will live off their children. That is why we always have black tax. We've got to look after our parents because our parents never had any retirement annuity over their lives. Is it different with you now? Very, very important. So God expects you to pay Him first, pay yourself second, and pay your bills. Now, I want you to know that saving is a measure of our intellect. It's a measure of our intelligence. Let me give you a scripture. Proverbs 21 verse 20 in the Living Bible. The Bible says, the wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. It's not me. But fools spend everything that comes their way. But a wise man saves for the future. And as I'm teaching you right now, people of God, I want you to be doers of the word. I want you to go back home and see what adjustments that you can make so that you move into this dimension of your life. Let me give you some stats. South African households' savings rate has been negative since the end of 2022. And the latest figures, as of the first quarter of 2025, the figure stands at minus 1.2%. Now, the savings rate of a nation is an indication of how much money is saved on the gross that is received by households. So currently, you can go check these stats, you can check me out. But minus 1.22% is the rate, implying that South Africans are overspending. They are spending more than they earn. Yes. Minus 1.25. It has been on the decline since 2022. Now, many people are drawn by impulsive buying, which results in them sinking into unnecessary debt. Very, very important. Now, let me say this to you. It's important that you have an emergency fund lying somewhere. It's so important. I want to emphasize this to the church. Don't wait until you start earning six-digit figures, because you might not get there. But the little that the Lord has given you, are you faithful to save a little bit of it? Are you able to save a little bit of it? You need some level of comfort. You must have enough to sustain yourself. In fact, they say for 6 months. If nothing comes your way, are you able to continue the way you are living right now? But the reality is that many people are living on the edge, to the point that if 1 month goes without them receiving an income, they are devastated. Everything goes. When we started our business in 2020 in March, for many reasons, I was not paid by my employer, my former employer. He withheld everything. The idea was to ensure that me and my family would suffer. But we thank God that we had put together an emergency fund that enabled us to live our lives normally. Our kids did not even know that Pa did not get paid. And this morning I want to ask you this question. If something like that would happen to you, what would be the outcome? What would be the outcome? Do you know that many people are drawn to increasing their expenses the moment they get an increase? Many people are drawn to buying houses and cars as soon as there's some additional income. But what does the Bible say about that? Let me give you a scripture. In Proverbs 24, verse 27. Are we together this morning? Okay, if I was a Gen Z, like, you clock it? Clock it, you clock it, right? You understand what I'm talking about this morning, guys? This is biblical, this is scriptural, and this is what we need to do as disciples of Jesus. Don't build your house and establish your home until your fields are ready and you are sure that you can earn a living. Don't build your house until you know you can maintain the house. Until you know you can pay the rates and the levies, the insurance, the maintenance of the house. Do you know that when you're renting, the landlord is responsible for maintenance? He's responsible for the levies, not you. So you get an increase, you jump straight and you buy an apartment. And suddenly you realize, oh, there's insurance to be paid. There are levies to be paid. There are rates to be paid. There's maintenance to be paid. If you are in a standalone house, it means that even the gate motor, it's your responsibility if it doesn't run. So the fact that you've got an increase in your life does not mean you should go and buy a house immediately. I know that we are always told, buy a house as soon as you can. Buy a house. But wait a moment. Are you able to ensure that you can sustain it? So he says, don't build your house and establish your home until your fields are ready, until you've got constant income that covers just beyond the bond of the house. Just giving you some insights here. Hallelujah. Let's talk about vehicles. Young people, when you finish your degree, you go straight into work. And remember, you don't start at the top, you start at the bottom. You're an intern. The fact that you get your first paycheck does not qualify you to go and buy a BMW 3 Series. Do you know? No. Think about it. You might need to walk using 2 Series for the first 24 months of your employment. Yamaz, 2 Series. 2 Series. I have a 2 Series. But I'm saying to you, don't rush into debt. Listen, a vehicle is meant to take you from point A to point B. It's not meant to draw attention between point A and point B. It is supposed to take you from point A to point B and not to be seen and to attract attention. Okay, you can come talk to me about vehicles at another day. But be careful. So I'm saying to you, develop a saving habit. Please, develop a saving habit. Let's look at number six. Number six. Financial prudence is keep a good record of your finances. Okay? Keep a good record of your finances. Now, in the field of continuous improvement, there's a statement that says, if you cannot measure it, you cannot manage it. If you cannot measure it, you cannot manage it. What this simply means is that unless you can measure something, you won't know if it is getting better or worsening. So we measure standards, we measure the way we are performing, and therefore it enables us to continuously improve. This is even true regarding your finances. Again, let's look at the Living Bible. Proverbs 27, verse 23. The Bible says, riches can disappear fast, and the king's crown doesn't stay in his family forever. So watch your business interests closely. Know the state of your flocks and of your herds. Now, in those days, there were no banks, but their wealth was tied up in livestock. And therefore, the more cattle one had, the more goats and sheep one had, the richer one was. And what this meant is that one had to closely inspect the health of the animals almost every day in order to quickly arrest any diseases that might be impacting on their health. Therefore, the writer says, know the state of your flock. And I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you know the state of your finances? Or we just go on, Jay? We take it as it comes. So how does one apply this to the management of personal finances? You do this by keeping a good record of your finances. Listen, it does not have to be complicated. So you can either do it on an ordinary spreadsheet or even in a blank journal where you write down the stuff that you do, the stuff that you spend money, and this issue of keeping your financial records comes down to this dreaded word called budgeting. Budgeting. Can everybody repeat after me? Say budgeting. Come on, I say it with an attitude. Say budgeting. Let's say budgeting. Budgeting. Oh, you're getting tired. Come on, let's say it again. Budgeting. How many of us have got budgets in this church? So, your financial records are seen on that budget. It means that you have a line item for everything that you spend your money on. Every line item you spend your money on. If you are a guy who buys breakfast every morning, it must be on that budget. If you go on dates with your spouse, it must be on that budget. We go on dates with my wife a lot. And we have a line item for it on the budget. You know, sometimes, I mean, we have exhausted all the restaurants in Centurion. We are going down south because everything in Centurion, we've been there. We just don't show ourselves on Instagram. Like, I'm out with my hon right now. We just don't do that. But we're out a lot of times. We go on dates. I remember saying to my wife, like, can you imagine? Imagine if we've been recording our outings. Right? Followers. They'll be saying, follow this page. They'll tell you where next to go for breakfast. But we do that. We do that because it's on the budget. Listen, if you plan where your money should go, you'll never have to worry about where your money has gone. Have you ever heard people saying, I really don't know where my money goes? I actually don't know where my money goes. Okay, I'll tell you why you don't know. Let's go to Proverbs 21 verse 5. I want to anchor this in scripture. Proverbs 21 verse 5 in the Good News Translation. The Bible says, plan carefully and you'll have plenty. If you act too quickly, you'll never have enough. Every time the notification comes, hey, let's go to KFC. You know, I was driving with my son yesterday. It's month end, ne? And the malls are packed. Go to the Grove down the road here during this time of the month. It is full. It's not breathing. Everybody is out. Why? The notifications came through. But the Bible says, if you act too quickly, you will never have enough. I was dreading to go to Food Lovers yesterday, and then my wife sends me there. You couldn't find parking. What's going on here? Everybody is out. But come on the 15th of the month, the car park is empty. Dololo, nothing. Okay, listen. Plan carefully and you'll have plenty. Are we still together this morning? It's like we're in a financial planning class. But this is very spiritual. Let me tell you something. You need to know four things regarding your finances. Four things you need to know about your finances. Let me give them to you blow by blow. Number one, you need to know what you own. Do you know what you own? And listen to me, that 85-inch television you're still paying, you don't own it. Hello? It's not yours. Because if you default, something will happen to it. You need to know what you own. You need to know what you earn. You need to know what you owe. Do not understate your debt. Put it down. You need to know what you owe and you need to know where it goes. So if you don't know any of the above, you're already in financial trouble. I'm telling you now, you're already bleeding. Because if you don't know what you earn, it means you just spend thinking that there's enough. That is why some of you need to take out those overdraft facilities in your account. Do you know what is an overdraft facility? It's when you go to the bank and the bank allows you to have 5,000 rand that you can go over more than what you have in your account, so you can spill over into the negative of 5,000 rand. So when you have an overdraft facility, you can continue swiping even if there's nothing left. So your account is in minus 5,000, and when you get your pay slip, it goes first. They pay you. That's why some people say, don't deposit money into my account faster. I know you. Like, that account is not healthy. It comes, it goes. Pastor, just do an e-wallet so that I can go and withdraw cash. I said, no, but it's easy for me to do a direct transfer into your account. No, Pastor, my account's just e-wallet will do. What's going on here? You have overspent and you are in the overdraft. We can laugh about it, but these are realities we face. Now, if you want to change the situation, go and cancel the overdraft facility. So that the next time you swipe, declined. You swipe, declined. And then they charge you for all the declined transactions. Right? So if you don't have an overdraft facility, it's a way of protecting yourself from overspending. But you need to know all those four. So go home and identify all of those four for yourself. So money that you don't plan for will disappear without a trace. Now, before I get into the details of the budget, I want to give you practical steps around biblical principles for family finances. And to those of you who are not married, this is a good lesson for you. And if you are married, it's not too late. And I pray that you have a wife or a husband who is reasonable. That's why the Bible says, you shall not be unequally yoked. Let me talk about that concept of being unequally yoked. It doesn't necessarily mean it's about somebody who is not saved. It might be somebody on a different level of faith. You've got to look for somebody who matches you. Or somebody you are better than. To some level. There has to be a synchrony between the two of you. So that when you speak, you understand one another. Can I get a big amen? Chenzi, you hear me? Get somebody who matches you. Somebody who understands you. Somebody who is in agreement with your values and systems. Okay? Let me give you biblical principles for family finances. And if you are married and your spouse is here, I want you to tell him or her, this is our moment. This is our moment to be taught. This is our moment. Hallelujah. Number one, you've got to approach finances from a perspective of covenant and not contract. That's a biblical principle to manage finances of your household. Approach finances from a perspective of covenant and not contract. What do I mean by this? Covenant says one brings 100%. You commit to bring 100% even if the other one does not bring their 100%. The contract says on the other side, I bring my 50% as long as you bring your 50%. If you don't bring your 50%, I don't have to bring my 50%. That's the difference between contract and covenant. Covenant is always 100%. Contract is always 50-50 or 40-60 or 30-70, whatever the case might be. But when you get married, the Bible tells us in Mark 10, verse 8, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Can somebody say amen to that? The implication of a financial covenant is that you move from his money or her money to our money, regardless of what each other brings. Regardless of whether you are a great earner, a small earner, the two shall become one. It's no longer my car, my house, my stove, my refrigerator. The day that I leave, I'm taking half of everything. Leaving, where are you going? Where are you going? Let no man separate. Money should not separate you. Money should actually unite you. Does somebody hear me this morning? So guys, move away from this concept of it's my money. If you are living in a single income household, it's our money. For a number of years, my wife and I had a single income. But it was never my money. It is our money. And I want to teach you this principle. If you can learn it early on in your marriage, it will save you a lot of strife. It's our money. Number two, approach the budget with transparency. Approach your finances with transparency. You see, something that is transparent is something that you can see through. It's transparent. So similarly, when putting together a budget, each party must be honest and truthful regarding their earnings, their debts, and their desires. So when you come together as husband and wife, you've got to be honest with your earnings and your debts. So transparency allows for truthfulness and creates trust and accountability. I find it weird. You know, I've been married 19 years. I find it weird for married people who don't know how much they bring. You don't know how much your husband brings. You don't know how much your wife brings. Why? Because she says, it's my money. Don't you trust me? Why do you want to see my pay slip? It's my money. That is why I struggle when husbands surprise their wives with vehicles. Where did you get that money? Tell me, how did you acquire so much money to surprise your wife with an X3? How? Well, I'm a small guy. I don't understand it. Maybe you do understand it. But when there's transparency, you cannot hide 300,000 rand from your spouse. You cannot hide 120,000 rand of debt from your wife. It doesn't work. Listen, Genesis 2 verse 25. The Bible says, and the man and his wife were both naked and they were not ashamed. Transparency. Does your wife know your debts? Does your husband know how much debt you've been accumulating? That is why when we do premarital counseling, we tell them, bring your finances up. Is everything okay? Is there any debt that you are bringing into this marriage that he needs to know? Many people have divorced straight after marriage because the man then realizes, I married a woman who's got ₹1 million in debt. And he'll say, I never signed up for this. Never, I'm done. So people of God, this is so important. You've got to be transparent in your marriages regarding finances. Don't go and take out personal loans without telling your spouse. Listen to me. If you are married in community of property, you are in trouble. Because her debt is your debt. My wife and I, it's out of community. Because of the law of where we come from. But if somebody would come to me and say, Pastor, what do you advise? I would say, marry out of community. Then if you want, maybe with accrual. But I'm saying to you, marry out of community. Guys, you have to apply wisdom. Don't be so much in love that rationality goes out of the window. No, don't do that. If you are already married in communal property, may the Lord help you. I trust that you have a spouse who is reasonable. Yes. If it is in communal property, you better love that man until he tells you exactly how he makes his money. Because I'm telling you, if this guy is making money out of ungodly ways, it will come back to bite both of you. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Are we still together this morning? Practical theology. That's what I'm teaching you. Ephesians 4, verse 25. The Bible says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. For we are all members of one body. In this case, speak truthfully to your spouse regarding your finances. Okay. I've got a statement here. I'm running out of time. It is therefore ungodly to be married and your wife does not know how much you earn and how much debt you have. I know it's a very strong statement, but it's ungodly. You want her support, but you don't tell her how much you earn and how much you owe. The next thing, the sheriff is at the door. What are you doing here? No, we have come to collect. Here is a court order. We don't want to live in the space of surprises. Okay, the last principle of finances, agree beforehand on what goes where. Okay? So there's nothing that destroys family finances like disagreeing over spending patterns. Agree as to what goes where. Amos 3, verse 3, the Bible says, can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? Okay, without agreeing on the direction. I'm rushing here so that I let you go soon. The next principle is agree on who is better suited to keep the financial records. Somebody there is wired that way. It does not have to be the wife. It does not have to be the husband. It does not have to be the one who is bringing more. Because some men control their wives because they tend to bring more money than their wives. But I thank God that the economy has changed. It has flipped that thing. Because now more women are earning more than their wives. Than their husbands. Thank you for correction. More wives are earning more than their husbands. Now what? Now what? What you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do about it? She brings more. You clock it. What are you going to do about it? The wife brings more. It doesn't make you less of a husband. Hallelujah. Because what you carry is not about what you bring. It's about the authority and the position that you hold in that household. So the moment you understand that, you are free from being insecure. Because your wife brings more than you. I know we struggle with that as men. May the Lord help us. And I pray for you that you hustle and hustle and hustle until you better your earnings. It's for a moment. God designed you to lead. And He will grace you to lead even in that area. But in that season where you are finding your feet, don't be insecure. Don't call her names. Don't read between the lines. Don't say you are saying that because I don't bring much. Be secure as a man in your household. You are not a man because you've got pants in that room. Well, women are wearing pants these days. You are the man because God ordained you to be so. God ordained you to be the husband. God ordained you to be the head of your wife. Glory be to God. That settles it. So let's bring what we earn into one pot. If you don't have, so my wife and I don't have a common account, but we have a common budget. Many people ask me, Pastor, should we have a common account? That's your story to sort out. Whether you've got 16 accounts or one account, I don't really care. What I care about is have a common budget. Let everybody understand what is on that line. And now, the last part I've got here, live by the budget. You've got to nip that thing in the budget. We say nip it in the bud, but nip it in the budget. If it's not on the budget, it mustn't leave the shelf. Explain to me, you went to the mall to go buy a loaf of bread, you come back with a double door fridge. My love, how did you do that? How? You left and said, I'm going to buy some scones. And the next thing, there is a furniture delivery van with a double door fridge. How? But I'm saying to you, if it's not on the budget, it mustn't leave the shelf. If it left the shelf into the trolley, it mustn't leave the trolley to the till. If it got to the till, it mustn't go ping, ping. Never. You've got to be disciplined. You've got every touch point to make right. It's just that we don't pay attention. Hallelujah. I don't know how it happened. It just came. It was there. You brought it there. Okay, guys, I'm going to stop there. I've got an example of a budget here. You can come talk to me. I can share with you. My wife and I have a budget, and from time to time, we do an evaluation of the budget. We do a recon. That's one of the worst things.
She says, yeah, she knows.
It's one of the worst things that you can do. So what happens is that sometimes our budget runs away, right? And then I'm complaining, like, oh, my account is bad. She's like, where did you overspend? I don't know. Like, no, you know. You know, I married up. So my wife makes me account. Like, you need to tell me, how did we end up in the negative that we are now? So a couple of days ago, we did a reevaluation of our budget because a number of things changed. Increases of insurance, increases of this and that. So I was in the negative because of those things, you know. So, guys, live by the budget. Does somebody hear me this morning? I'm not telling you stuff that I don't do. A recon is one of the painful things that we have to do. So we had a budget in January, and then it worked out okay, until May, June, thereabout, and then things. And then we had to reevaluate now, like, let's reset. Where do we need to change? Where do we need to reallocate finances? So, I mean, here I would have it. If you just go down to the last slide, there. That's a point. It's not our, hey, it's not my budget here. These are just, somebody like, I want to see how much does the pastor earn? It's not there. So this is on the portion under home expenses. So you'll have different categories. Okay, so this is a portion under home expenses. So what we do, we then have the budget, we have the actual. Then we have the difference. Then at the bottom here, you have what is left. So that figure can grow in the negative or in the positive. You must manage that. So I want to encourage you, when you get your bank statements, run through them. And you will see where you are overspending. So the guy overspent over electricity. I don't know what happened there. He overspent on phones. He's talking too much on WhatsApp. I don't know what he's doing. But the point is, you must do a recon. It's one thing to budget. It's another thing to live by the budget. So people of God, I want to challenge you. Live by the budget. Do a recon every other, maybe 3 months, so as to recoup. Don't allow the debt to run away from you and waiting for the bonus to sort out the debt. Don't do that. Hallelujah. Come, let's step our hand to the Lord. Hallelujah. Come, let's stand on our feet and pray. I want us to commit our finances in the hands of the Lord. If you got something today, I want you to pray to the Lord and just talk to him and say, Lord, I need your help. I need your help. I need your help. I need your help. The Lord wants to set you free from the spirit of mammon. The Lord wants to set you free from those habits that are not of God. I don't know what stood out for you, but I want you to pray. Come on, I just talk to the Lord regarding your finances. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you today. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you that you are present and that, Lord, you are interested in our well-being. Father, you are interested in our well-being, and we pray that you'd help us by your Spirit, oh God, to follow biblical principles around finances, Lord. We thank you that the word is full of answers to the many questions that we have, Baba, to the way we should manage our finances. Lord, we pray this morning for your grace. We pray this morning that you'd help your people. Heavenly Father, we pray that even in the areas of prioritizing you, Lord, we pray that they would learn to prioritize you. We pray that they would know that you are their source. We pray that, Father God, they would learn to keep records of their finances. We pray for financial discipline, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we pray this morning that you'd help your people, that your grace and your hand would sustain them in this season. Father, we give you praise and we give you honor in the name of Jesus. With our eyes closed.